Amen and amen and amen. Well, you may be seated, and I am too. Today is a good day. You know, I was scanning the television last night, and I saw Dr. Charles Stanley. He was preaching in his church, and he sits at a table something like this. But I'm believing God and dealing with some issues in my hip and my back. So, I mean, some people say, oh, you shouldn't tell them. Well, why not? You can believe with me, you know. I'm here for you. I'm here for you whenever you need something, so you can be here for me, okay? Amen. You know, they've been talking, even in the worship, Dan was there talking about your answer, and the choir was singing. You know, today people are dealing with difficult situations. Sometimes it's sickness, sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's marital. But we're dealing with all kinds of situations all the time. And some people are wondering, well, when will my change come? Well, that's what the title of my message is this morning. I mean, everything's seeming to fit together. Now, I want you to turn to a passage of scripture probably you don't ever read in this book. It's the book of Job. Not Job, but Job. And in 14:14, chapter 14, verse 14, and we're gonna examine this morning, and I think it will help you. If a man dies, shall he live again? In all the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change comes. You know, it says here in the Voice Message Bible, it says, I will patiently wait until my change comes. Now, most all of you know the story of Job. It's told all the time. He lost his family. He lost all his possessions. And he was attacked physically. And all he had left was a wife that told him to curse God and die, and three friends that turned into miserable comforters. Now, what a sad situation this is. There is nothing sometimes more disheartening than a spouse that won't believe God with you. And you know, we don't need friends who make us more miserable than we are. You know, They were miserable. You know what a miserable comforter is? It is someone whose words are more miserable than the misery you're going through. Now, as we look at these verses, I want to deal then. It says, if a man dies, shall he live again? More important here, Job is asking all of this in the midst of his trouble, and he's talking about himself as well as about all of the things that he's lost. Can it live again? Can he have it again? And Job, his family died, his possessions passed away, his health was gone, and he's there, left in this condition. And his situation, it looked hopeless and beyond repair when he cried out with this question. But this is a question that had been asked through the ages. You know, can you find life again? If you're bound by sin, can you have righteousness? If the doctors say you're going to die, can you live? Your health is gone. Can it come again? Your business is bankrupt and dead. Can it become prosperous again? Your job is gone. Can you get another one? Can you live again? In other words, can all of this come alive again? You know, when you get down, most of the time people have all kinds of situations. You get down and you get in the valley of despair, and you're sitting there, and you say, is it ever going to get any better? Everything is against me. I want to look at some prophetic words that were spoken by Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, we'll start with the first verse. Give you an opportunity to turn there. I mean, I don't imagine you go read Ezekiel that much. You know, we're supposed to read the whole Bible, but really, we live in the epistles. It's where the Christian should live, because that's where it tells you who you are in Christ and how you can have what all you have. Now, here's what Ezekiel said in the New Living Translation. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried up. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" O sovereign Lord, I reply, "You only know the answer to that." Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to these dry bones and listen to the word of the Lord." This is what the sovereign Lord says. "Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you alive again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come alive. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I spoke this message just as it told. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise in the valley, and the bones of each body came together, attached themselves completely, becoming complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed on the bones, then skin formed over to cover the body, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies that they may live again." So I spoke the message as commanded me, and breath came into their bodies, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Now, he is speaking here. Israel had been taken into a foreign nation, and for all practical purposes, the nation of Israel was dead. But Ezekiel is speaking prophetically of the nation of Israel rising once again. Of that particular time after they had been in captivity, but also prophetically for us now. And they were a dead nation, and they became 1948, they become a nation again. And the enemy the devil is trying to put them down ever since, but they're still a nation, and we should pray for Israel and for the Jewish people. We should pray for them. In fact, you know, that is the natural descendants of Abraham, but we're the spiritual descendants of Abraham, according to what Galatians 3:13-14 says, as Paul is talking to us there. And so he said, as he spoke, the Spirit began to move again. And where there had been silence, there was noise. Where there was nothing moving, there was a move again. Where there was no one to defend the nation, a mighty army arose. The prophetic answer of Job's question then comes here. So here is what I want you to get. If God can resurrect, and he says he can bring a life and resurrect a nation, he can resurrect your situation. He can bring about healing. He can deliver you. He can prosper you. He can make a way where there is no way. He can open a door that has been shut. Luke 18:27 says, "What is impossible for people is possible with God." It's possible to be lifted out of bondage. It's possible for you to live for God again and live the life of God. It's possible for you to have health again. It's possible that your business can rise out of the ashes of failure. It's possible that a job can be miraculously given to you. In the midst of despair and discouragement and defeat, I want you to realize that humanly it may be impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God, according to Mark 9:23. Everything includes that situation that you're in. Whatever it is, it includes it. He's saying it may look dead, but it can live again. You see, the answer to the question, yes, even the dead can come alive again. This statement that Job makes, he said, all the days are hard for me, but I wait for my change. Now, other translations said, as the days I've struggled, I will wait till my change comes. All the days of hard service, I will wait for renewal and release to come. Now, you look at Job in the midst of his despair and struggling, in the midst of what we would consider failure. Dark clouds of affliction went all the way to the horizon. He couldn't see any way out. Just I imagine him looking there. And as he is looking out, and he sees nothing but darkness and despair, on the horizon, there is a speck of light. There is something there. And he says, I will wait for my change to come. He's believing that, hey, God is coming. I see it. It's little now, but he's coming to make the darkness into light, to make despair come into gladness and hope and joy. But I want to tell you something. There is a difference between Job and us today, because in the Old Testament, he had to wait for God to move in the hour of despair. But I want to tell you something. We're living in the New Testament, and Jesus has already come with the answer. When he died on the cross, he came with the answer. We can look back at the cross and see that Calvary has already provided everything that we need. We would realize that Jesus has already taken care of your situation. All you have to do is believe it, you know, and receive it. It's already been taken care of. It said so right here in the Word of God. But I want to tell you something. The enemy will tell you, well, that those answers happened a long time ago, but it's not happening today. Or he will tell you, well, yeah, you are born again Christian, all right, but you wasn't born in the right time. This is not the right time, so therefore, it's not for you. He will try to tell you that you've come too late, but let me tell you something. He's come too late to tell us that we can't be delivered. He's come too late to tell us that we can't come alive again. I want you to realize the devil may tell you, well, now, okay, someday it'll come. You need to look for someday. Hey, someday is today. Someday is today. It says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And if I could change that just a little bit, it now is the day of your restoration. Now is the day that you're coming alive again. That which was your situation, whatever it is, can come alive today. So today is the day. Today is the day. This is your time. This is your time. This is your time. This is your time. I don't care what your situation is. It can come alive again. I don't care what's going on in your life. It can come alive again. It can come alive again. It can come alive again. Whatever your situation is. Yes, all you have to do is begin to think and begin to believe and begin to say with your mouth. Maybe you think it can't happen. but it can happen. Maybe you think you're going to have to go live with it. No, you don't have to live with it. This is your season to come alive. Let me tell you something. Maybe you've been told your situation cannot live again. But I'm telling you today, by the power of the Spirit of God, whatever your situation is, you can live again. I don't care what it is. I don't care what has happened. This is your time to live again. Hallelujah. Just begin to rejoice and receive it right now. This is your time. You don't need anybody to lay hands on you. You don't need anybody. All you need to do is reach up and take it by the power of God. This is your time. This is your time. This is your time. This is your time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody said, well, I see all of you rejoicing, but I can't rejoice because I don't believe. You got to believe. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you got to believe. You got to think that the Word of God is true. And you have to act like the Word of God is true. You see, so many people are waiting. Like Job, he was waiting. But you see, Jesus hadn't come yet. Now Jesus has come. You don't have to wait. It's there. All you have to do is receive it. I want you to notice, though, when God came back and delivered Job, it says there in that 42nd chapter of Job, it says he had more than he had. If he had 40 donkeys, he had 80 donkeys. It said he had more. He had more. Hey, Jesus has come. He has come so that you can have more. You can have more. More than what you had when you got into the trouble you was in. More than you had. You can do it. Hallelujah, you got something?
I've got victory. It's all over me. I've got victory. Come on.
I've got victory. It's all over me. I've got victory.
You got victory. Listen, if you have something, I'm not going to pray for you, but if you have a situation that you've been dealing with, you thought it's all over, it's done, I want you to come down here at the front. I want you to begin to sing that song, and I want you to begin to receive your victory right now. Come on. Start singing the song as they come.
I've got victory. It's all over me. I've got victory.
My praise is a weapon.
Cause my praise is a weapon.
come through situations, so you need to rejoice because of what God's done for you, what He's brought you from, what He's brought you from,
yeah.
How He's protected you and kept you and brought you to where you are now. Hallelujah. We need to, everybody needs to rejoice. We need to lift our hands and rejoice in the Lord. Thank the Lord because of what He has done. What He has done. What He has done for us. Oh, God, He's been so good to you. He has brought you through. He's brought you finances when you need it. He's taken you out of prison. He's taken you out of addiction. He's taken you out of being, oh, hallelujah, under the influence. And He's brought you under the influence of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. I got victory.
I've got victory. It's all over me. I've got victory. I've got victory. It's all over me. I've got victory.
I've got the victory.
I've got victory. It's all over me.
Anything this morning. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes people think it takes a long time for God to do something. And you're supposed to, you know, it's just 11:10. We only been here an hour and 10 minutes. But you see, you look at what all has happened in that length of time. Hallelujah. It started off in the praise and worship. It's where it started. So really, this has been going on all the time. Then it came on through the song that they said, the choir sang. Then I came out here and gave a little exhortation for just a few minutes. And now we are down here rejoicing because our victory has come. Our victory has come. Our victory has come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bow your heads for just a moment. If you're back there in that audience and you don't know Jesus Christ, or you know what it is to serve Christ, but you need to rededicate your life. Hallelujah. I want to pray with you, and I want you to be able to rejoice like these people rejoice. In the audience, if it's you, raise your hand. Anybody, anywhere. I don't like to have a service unless I give people an opportunity. Well, praise the Lord. Looks like we're all Christians in here today. Let's raise our hands and rejoice. Let's raise our hand. You got another song? Hallelujah. You got another song? Thank you, Lord. It seems like we need to sing something else.
And I will remain confident in this. I will see,
yes,
the goodness of the Lord.
I will remain confident. I will remain confident.
Who is the everlasting God? see the goodness of the Lord.
Jesus.
I will remain. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord.
Hallelujah. You said, I will remain confident. You know, that means you're saying that nothing, nobody, nothing can get you off of where you are right now. Hallelujah. This has been, we've rejoiced in the Lord this morning. You know, I think sometimes we get ourselves in a position that we think everything has to be in a certain time limit. No, it doesn't. No. We have had, how many of you have felt the presence of God in this place today? Hallelujah. I still think we need another song. You better got to come out. Listen to the Spirit. Wait a minute, Miss Lynette is not coming. Hallelujah. I just don't think we're done yet. Hello? Hallelujah.
I love you, Lord. There we go. Because your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands.
For the moment.
From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, and I will see of the goodness of God. Cause all my life, cause all my life you have been faithful. Cause all my life you have been so, so good, yeah. With every breath that I am made, and I will sing. So, so good, yeah. With every breath that I am made, and I will sing of the goodness of God. So come on, sing it. Your goodness is running after. It's running after, yeah. Your goodness is running after. It's running. Of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. You were singing there. He's been faithful. You know what? Some of you standing down here, God has done it for you before. So he'll do it again. He will do it again. You see, sometimes when we have a victory and then we get in another situation, because all of us are getting in them. We all live in situations. I do, you do, everybody does. I'm living the situation right now, but I'm going to come out on top of it because God's going to do it again. See, God will do it again for you. He's going to turn it around. Y'all remember that sermon I preached not too long ago? God, the Master Restorer. He's going to turn it around. For somebody that's standing right down here, you need to hear that. I don't know who you are, but he said he's going to turn it around. He's going to turn it around. I don't care what it looks like now. He's going to turn it around. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is a turnaround specialist. You know, God turned it around for Joseph in the Old Testament. Man, he got put in a hole in the ground, and then he went into slavery, and he ended up the prime minister of Egypt, in charge of everything. He turned his situation around. He turned Daniel's situation around. Daniel was in the lion's den, but the lions didn't hurt him. In fact, he used one of them for a pillow and covered up with the rest of them. They got up close to him to keep him warm. The three Hebrew children went in the fiery furnace, but God turned it around and they come out. You may be in a fiery furnace situation this morning, but he's going to turn it around for you. If you're listening out there and you're in one of these situations, he's going to turn it around for you. He's going to turn it around for anybody that will let him. He's in the turnaround business. All you have to do is believe it and receive it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, has anybody got anything this morning? God is so good. Huh? Oh, yeah. First time guest. Connection team. Go find our first time guest and take them to that room so that we can... give them a gift. If you're looking for a church home, why do we say church? Welcome home. Hallelujah. Tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, Hour of Power right here. Right now, the staff is going to the different doors where I'm going south today. There where you see the rest of the people are going if you want to see them. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Anybody get anything this morning? Hey, tell your friend that's in, if you got a friend that's in some kind of situation, tell him, say, hey, God is going to turn it around for you if you'll believe it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God. Sing something and then we're going to let y'all go.
And all my life,
see you tonight.
You have been faithful.